The Hagman and Hagman Report, Doug and Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, bringing you news that you're not going to hear elsewhere, information you're not going to hear elsewhere. Just so proud to be a part of your day. You know, Joe and I were talking today, and Eric, the tech, and JD, having a staff meeting. That's our staff. We don't have tens of hundreds of people. No. We have a very small staff, very efficient staff. And I do want to thank Eric the Tech, and of course JD, but Eric the Tech for providing such valuable services to us. Of course, he's running the cameras, running the brakes, running the Starship over there in his little cockpit. I want to, Eric, I don't know if you've got the file I sent to you, ready queued to be queued up on visuals, but I just want to say that last week, Joe and I had the distinct honor, distinct pleasure of spending really 2 days, but when I say 2 days, spending some time with Pastor Paul Begley and his wife Heidi. We had such a great time. And we taped a couple of episodes of The Coming Apocalypse, which is airing now this Friday, folks, this Friday on Channel 367 DirecTV, as well as numerous stations all across the country. Millions of viewers had a great time doing it. And, of course, this coming Friday, check your local listings. If you have DirecTV Channel 367, check your
9
local
o'clock,
listings.
367, yeah.
Eastern, 9 o'clock, 9 Eastern. O'clock Eastern. Right, but check to see what time, and then the following Friday. So it's going to be great. We had such a great time with Pastor Paul Begley and his wife. Folks, let me tell you something. His wife wrote a book, Finding My Father. Now, I was so touched by that book. I mean, I was really touched by that book.
Oh, you know, I got that book, and I bought it for my wife.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
Had Paul's wife, Heidi, personalize it.
Uh-huh.
And I left it in the car on our way back. So
I've
I
got
think
it.
It's in your book.
No, I've got it in my okay. in my bag. I just want to this is a personal message to all of you who went out of your way on Thursday last week to come to Indianapolis. There were people there from five states. We met each and every one of you that we met in the studio audience. I was just humbled by you folks are the great. I mean, our audience is the greatest, and I'm going to tell you something. The people that we met there, I just want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And just a wonderful opportunity to speak with a couple of people at length, and just such a nice woman there that I had a chance to spend some time with talking to, and her her situation, and it was just great. In fact, I was able to sign my book as well, personalize my book to a number of people. And which, by the way, folks, if you want a copy of Stained by Blood, which is my personal investigative report, I brought some books back from Indianapolis, so I do have a new, shall I say, a new shipment here on the shelf. So if
a new
like
surplus.
One, yeah, a new surplus, I guess. All you have to do is go to stainedbyblood.com. If you want me to personalize it to you, go to stainedbyblood.com on the right-hand side, on the upper right-hand side. Of course, you'll see a little area, and you can get the book that way. You don't have to, but I'm just saying. And, of course, it's available on Amazon as well, in hard copy as well as Kindle. So, good stuff coming there. Now, okay, folks, gather around, pay attention, because this is cool. Guess who's coming on our show tomorrow? Guess. Come on. Guess. Steve Quayle and Ross Powell tomorrow night on our show. Now, I got a favor to ask everyone listening. If you're listening live or watching live, I got a favor. Let's do this. Let's blow Steve Quayle's mind, okay? Guess what tomorrow is? It's Steve Quayle's birthday. So let's blow his mind. Everyone, just send an email to Steve Quayle wishing him a happy birthday. Don't Don't tell them where you heard it. Don't tell them where you heard it. Make them wonder. How do they know? How do they know? But no, seriously, you can go ahead and say it doesn't matter. But wish Steve Quayle a very happy birthday. He's coming on tomorrow with Ross Powell. Ross Powell is going to talk about the state of the economy, especially the TPP with respect to how things are going, and then put it in the context of the American elections. So that's what, that's what's on tap for tomorrow night. Hour number two, hour three is going to be Stan Dale. So don't miss tomorrow night to be sure. Now, and don't forget, you go to stevequayle.com. Click on the link to email him and wish him a happy birthday. You can start tonight. Just let's flood his inbox with birthday wishes. And he's going to be like, where'd this come from? Because he's a private person, so let's just blow his mind and make him and wish him a happy birthday. So I wanted to mention that. And, of course, on the 19th, we have Jim Mars coming. He's going to be on our program on the 19th. Yep. That's going to be an exciting program. And a few other things I wanted to mention. Oh, you had made reference, Joe, to a new format. We are segmenting our show up a little bit differently. It's going to be a faster-paced program. But you know what? More things, more information, more, just a wide array of guests.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because, I mean, the improvements, I believe, we are so thankful. I was really going through some snail mail today. And, of course, we love getting snail mail. We really do. And by the way, the people who asked for books in the snail mail, they're on their way, sent today. So just want to let you know. But you know what? The best audience in the world, and I want to thank you all. We could not be where we're at without you. And I just want to, just a heartfelt thank you. And any chance that we have, Indianapolis was just a wonderful time. Any chance that we're able to make a commitment like that, oh, it's just so great to meet people.
Yeah, and we got more stuff in the works, and
yeah,
just good things coming down the pike. And
good
as
things.
My dad said, it was all possible thanks to our fantastic audience that we have.
Yes,
and we can't thank you enough for your support, for your prayers, spreading the word about our show.
Yes.
And all that you do to make the Hagman and Hagman Report what it is.
Oh, that was, I got to tell you this story. That was great because, you know, I like to wear snazzy suspenders, right? I was in the hotel, okay, with suits on. But anyway, I in Indianapolis, excuse me, in the lobby of the hotel, guy comes up to me and says, you're Joe Hagman, thinking that I was the... I said, no, I'm Doug Hagman. And we talked for a few seconds, and I said, are you here for the television show? He said, what television show? I'm just traveling, I'm just passing through. It's really weird to be like, you know.
That happened to us twice.
Yeah.
The morning of the show, I got approached. We both did. We were sitting at a table.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And the gentleman said, you're Joe Hagman.
Yeah.
And he said, that's Doug Hagman. And we asked him, are you here for the... for the taping of the TV show. And he said, I didn't even know you guys were doing a TV show.
Yeah.
I just wanted to come over and say hi. Which it's kind of humbling and
you know,
flattering at the same time.
Exactly. And the reason that we mention this is not because, you know, oh, woe is us, how great we are. Yeah, we're rock stars. But no, no. The reason we mention this is because I really believe at this point we can make a difference in what we're doing. We can make a difference. If we've got that reach, we also have the responsibility. That responsibility to make a difference in people's lives, educate people, inform, inspire, and there you have it. Let's get into some news and headlines. What do you think?
Hot headlines, as they're called. I'm doing a hard restart on my computer here, so you're going to have to help me along. But from memory, I got a number of important headlines to get into.
Okay, there we go. There was a... You want to do that over? Should we do a retake of that?
What did I miss?
All right.
What did I miss?
Just wait for my cue. All right, now, we're going to redo this over again. See,
I missed
apparently.
Something.
He doesn't listen.
Well, you have teenagers issues over here.
Teenagers, they don't listen. All right, folks. We're going to get into some news and hot headlines.
Right now?
What am I? There you go. You got to wait for the prompt. Oh. All right, now you're good. Now you're good.
All right, folks. Thanks for bearing with us, bearing with me through understanding our new format. I forgot that the beautiful clips that Eric had put together. Look at that.
See?
Those graphics.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right.
Now, we got a number of things to get into today. There is a lot going on. If you look at the front of the Drudge Report, they're talking about safe spaces, safe zones for illegal immigrants.
That's right.
Now, my question is, isn't the whole continent or country of North America, or at least America, a safe zone for an immigrant at this point?
Some places are safer than others, I suppose. For illegals, you know, you've got the sanctuary cities, of course. You've got the that's a good question, though.
And you know, interestingly enough, some information that's come out today about Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. There is more than a presidential election going on in November.
Absolutely.
There will be many House and Senate seats that will be up for re-election. Paul Ryan's seat in Wisconsin is one of those areas where there will be a vote, and it will determine whether Paul Ryan stays in office as Speaker of the House,
yep,
or is outed by his opponent, Paul Nealon.
You know, and this is so important, because what we're seeing here, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing more than a wrestling match of the globalists.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to retain control of the power base that they have, and the people who are upsetting that apple cart of the globalists. And you know all of this, but now, are we not being able, Joe, the globalists are being identified, not just the globalist politicians, but you know what? The globalists, like pundits, like Bill Kristol, for example, and Karl Rove,
mm-hmm,
and the people that appear on these panels across Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or whatever the panel might be, they're identifying themselves. Now we can see who they are. They are trying to retain power and influence.
Yeah, and we heard this on Russ's show before ours. He mentioned the how globalization is out in the open more so now than it ever has been in the past. There was a time when me and my dad, just before we started doing the radio show, when we, yes, were getting into all the research, where the term globalization or New World Order meant you were some kind of, conspiracy theorist, government-hating, nut job, and possibly domestic terrorist. But now it is, Trump is terrible because he's a nationalist, and we are entering a globalist one-world system, which Hillary Clinton and the progressive movement, or the satanic elite, are behind.
You know, I didn't tell you this. Maybe I know you were in the office early, as was Eric, and just working their fingers right to the bone. Show them the bones.
Oh yeah, Stumpy's over here.
I didn't tell you this. Judy McLeod, the founder of Canada Free Press, and I were talking, and she said, "You know, this election," and she lives in Canada, but she knows more about, and I truly believe she knows more about the American political system than most Americans. Judy McLeod and I were talking, and she says, "Look, the election is going to be, it has been rigged."
Mm-hmm.
Against Trump.
Trump came out and said as much today.
And that's, I was getting into that. He's afraid that the general election in November will be rigged. But he didn't elaborate on the comment that he made at the Ohio rally this afternoon. He said this: "I'm afraid the election is going to be rigged. I have to be honest." And of course, the way we see it, and I know you feel the same way, and Eric, pipe in anytime you want to pipe in, but I do believe, when you think back at the 2016 cover of The Economist magazine, okay, I do believe the globalists, and the Economist magazine said as much. They want Hillary in there. It's got to be a globalist.
And wasn't she the only one not to be in? She was the only one in color.
She was the
only one not to be in black and white.
She was the only one on the cover. No, no. She, like, Trump wasn't on the cover. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll put the picture up for those watching on YouTube.
And I can understand Trump not being on the cover, because as we know now from the hacked emails from the Democratic National Committee, that Hillary Clinton and her nomination for the Democratic nomination of president was predetermined before that Economist magazine came out.
Go ahead and put the cover up. For those watching on YouTube, take a look at this picture. Okay. The next picture you see on YouTube will be the cover of the Economist magazine 2016. Every year they have, what really got me is I paid over $15 for a copy of a magazine. Wow. Okay. I really had to justify that. I mean, we justify every penny we spend, but that was like, my goodness. Anyway, but that it's interesting because we know the globalist, Joe. We know that they telegraph what their intentions are.
Yes, they do
through publications.
The publications, the music, the TV, all do what is called predictive programming. They condition you. They tell you what's going to happen tomorrow in a way that doesn't come out and say as much.
Yep.
And we've talked about this, you know, going back and watching certain TV shows, you notice certain things. And I mentioned how in The Office, I think it was the second episode that they ever had, the guy who took over for the Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, Larry, the comedian, Larry Summers, maybe?
Yep. Larry.
He did the diversity day training.
Yep.
And, I mean, a lot of it coincided with the timing of him taking over The Daily Show and the violence due to diversity and racism through diversity. And little things like that. And, you know, Hillary Clinton, from even movies like Deep Impact, when they projected an African American president at a time of peril in the country, you know, when everything was at stake. And they have these little, from subliminal messages to these covert symbolic messages. Now, if people, you understand that languages are really just based on symbols used to convey messages. That's what all language was based on, really.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. At least in the occult, in the Gnostic sense, in the secret societies, from the Freemasons and the Satanic elitists from back in ancient Egypt. They use symbols to convey messages, not words to one another. So unless you know those symbols, which really none of us do, we have an idea of some of them. I mean, we know that the obelisks are, we know what those stand for.
Okay, folks watching on YouTube, the cover of the Economist magazine, thank you, Eric the Tech, it's up there. Take a look. Who's missing? Who's not missing? Take a look, and there it is. The Economist magazine has long been regarded as, well, that's obviously the magazine of the globalists, but long been regarded as the conveyance by which the future, especially in the political arena, will be foretold. Now, Eric, I know you had a hard time finding that picture. Do you have the picture of the calendar, the insert? It's a 2-page spread that we can put up. Okay. Take a look at this, because now, knowing what we know now and having experienced, what, we're on our 8th month of 2016, take a look at this next image and see how that relates to the geopolitical landscape that we've gone through. And just give me a thumbs up when it's up. Before we get any further, Joe, I'm going to ask you this. You're aware, Joe, right, of the issue of Khizr Khan, the Muslim Gold Star Father.
Okay, now, from what I understand, what happened was Patricia's Summit, the mother of the Benghazi soldier.
Smith.
Oh, I'm sorry, Patricia Smith. She spoke at the RNC.
Correct.
Now, from Chris Matthews saying she ruined the night with her speaking to the GQ writer who said yes. that he wanted to kill her, basically, to
it was
Joy Behar of The View saying, oh, you know, that was such an unclassy move of Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton will never bring out victims and have their parents speak there and have a sympathy story. Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Now we come. Kazir Khan, the Muslim yep. Gold Star father. And our hearts, and seriously, anyone killed on behalf of their country or in battle, you know, our hearts go out to the victims and, of course, the families. But here's the problem here. You've got a Muslim soldier, his parents standing up, criticizing Donald Trump. But you can hear that story anywhere. I don't know how many people have heard the story.
No, mind you, obviously, Donald Trump had nothing to do with anything their son had to do with.
Correct. But that's not the story.
Right.
See, the story behind the story. Taking, perhaps, a closer look. Let's take a closer look. You don't have a program. That's okay. Did you notice that pause there? See, we're
come on, Eric. That's number two on the list.
Well, no, anyway,
you guys are going to have to get used to this.
Okay, there we go. So the center of the Economist is up, but I want to just get back to Kazir Khan, the Muslim Gold Star father, for a moment here, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. They've been criticizing Donald Trump. Well, it turns out that Khan has extremely deep ties to the government of Saudi Arabia and to, well, international Islamist investors through his own law firm. In addition to those ties to the wealthy Islamic nation, Khan also has ties to controversial immigration programs that wealthy foreigners can use to essentially buy their way into the United States. And wait for it, he's got deep ties to the Clinton cash narrative through the Clinton Foundation. I'm telling you, folks, the Clinton Foundation is the epicenter, is the monetary engine to which globalism and the one world, new world order will be brought into play.
You know what I learned about the Clinton Foundation today? was listening to when we got here early today because we had a staff meeting and some other things we had to do.
Yes, we did.
And I forgot my suit coat. And I left that home after the week, take it home.
He shows up in his pajamas.
No, I just forgot my suit coat. So I had to go home. So I'm on my way back to the studio. I'm listening to Sean Hannity. And he made a great point that the disclosure amounts of money that foreign governments say that they give to the Clinton Foundation, all the Clinton Foundation has to do, and this is the example I heard, that Saudi Arabia contributed $25 million or more to the Clinton Foundation. Now, they could have donated $1 billion, but all the Clinton Foundation has to do is write a minimum amount. $25 million.
Wait a second.
Or more.
When you say,
they don't have to say if it was $1 billion.
Right,
they only have
to
say if it was $25 million or more.
Which explains why that Peter Schweitzer's? I can't remember. Clinton, the movie about the Clinton Foundation. My notes are in my office. I can't.
The new movie?
Yeah, the Clinton Cash, I believe it is. In the book. Or I should say, there's a video and a book. By Peter.
I watched a movie on YouTube over the weekend, the Hillary Clinton movie, banned from theaters. Don't know. It seemed a little bit older.
Yeah. But regardless, you're right, because they give this wide amount. For example, they'll say anywhere between 1 million and then it'll jump up to 12 million. And you're thinking, how does that work? But this is what you're saying. They only have to report that minimum. The foundation, and then of
right.
course it could be much more, and the higher amount is the product of investigative research by the author or by the investigative journalist. So okay, there you've got it.
And back to the Khan family,
sure.
Patricia Smith was interviewed on CNN, and the segment on CNN, GOP leaders rip Trump for clash with Muslim family, And this article from the Washington Examiner goes on to explain how the mother of an American killed in the terrorist attack in Benghazi, Libya, said she was treated like dirt by Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton about the death of her son. I was treated like dirt. I don't think the Khan family was treated that way, but I was treated like dirt. I was called a liar, Patricia Smith said in an interview with Brooke Baldwin on CNN.
So is Charlie... Look, Charlie Strange... Patricia Smith and Charlie Strange, different circumstances. Charlie Strange from Extortion 17, his son, Gold Star father, Michael Strange Foundation. But he grabbed Obama by the lapel, by the lapels. And
Charlie Strange?
Yeah. So you've got the very people... The parents of the victims, the parents. I mean, imagine losing your son or your daughter in Benghazi or Extortion 17 or in Afghanistan or in battle anywhere. My goodness, a parent bearing a child.
Yeah.
And then, for these people to have the audacity to lie about the circumstances surrounding the death of their children, to me, would be intolerable. And I hope, ladies and gentlemen,
when they knew the truth.
Yes.
I mean, when they intentionally lying, when they knew the truth.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. They knew it was a terrorist attack. They came out and said it was the video's fault when it was not.
And we, you know, we, Joe and I, had the video. Well, we had all the information about it. We did. Hang right in there with us, folks. ISIS is a fully fledged insurgency, not merely a group, a terrorist group like Al-Qaeda was. ISIS, of course, the product of Western intelligence, the product of Obama, the product of Hillary Rodham Clinton, their policies they made, they created, they set up the creation of ISIS, now taking hold all across Europe, the Middle East, North Africa, and now coming into, or already here into, the United States. ISIS is the richest non-state threat group in modern history. They have successfully declared the caliphate after 90 years absence, and it is growing, ladies and gentlemen. They've successfully recruiting and are recruiting from the U.S. at a far, far greater rate than Al-Qaeda. Now, Al-Qaeda arrests averaged about 1.5 per month, roughly, in the period from 2001 through 2014. But from mid-March 2014 to mid-November 2015, 4.1 ISIS arrests made per month, folks. They have been essentially funded by, created by, and trained by American intelligence. But what's happening in the world as we take a step back and look all around and see now, wait a minute, the Vatican religious leaders and others want to, are forcing us to be of like mind. There are many ways to heaven, according to many popular preachers and ministers. That's wrong. Just to be clear, that's wrong. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We're going to take a closer look behind the veil.
So the Pope has come out and said that Islam is not terrorism. This gets into the interfaith movement, as well as the political correctness that has taken over the church as the church continues to conform to the world and the world of political correctness over the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Aboard the papal plane, Pope Francis said Sunday that Islam could not be equated with terrorism and warned Europe was pushing its young into the hands of extremists. Now, when they said extremists, they weren't talking about the migrants or immigrants that have been coming to Europe.
Alien invasion? No.
Committing terror attacks. They're talking about the nationalist parents who say that terrorism and Islam is bad.
They're talking about xenophobia. They're talking about us.
What the Pope said is, it's not true and it's not correct to say that Islam is terrorism. He told journalists, I don't think it's right to equate them with violence. Francis defended the decision not to name Islam when condemning the brutal jihadist murder of a Catholic priest in France in the latest of a string of recent attacks in Europe claimed by the Islamic State.
Jesus wept.
In almost every religion, there is always a small group of fundamentalists. We have them too, he said. And in something that Alex Jones and his staff were was really taken to task for, in what they said were Christian extremists, they were making a point that
that was taken out of context.
The extreme Christians stand out there with signs and billboards and go out on the street and preach the gospel.
Joe, let me say this. If I as a Christian feel it's right, it is proper, it is correct to stand outside of an abortion house, a killing house of unborn children, in an effort to change the mind, perhaps, of someone, of a young girl walking into that murder facility, I will do so proudly. But yet, I'm the extremist. Right?
Well, in the eyes of them. Well, not according to InfoWars. See, I think, like you said, that was taken out of context. But according to the public and the public correctness,
yes,
you are the extremist. Right. Now, as again, Francis said, there's in every religion, there's a small group of fundamentalists. It goes on to say that, you know, you can kill with a tongue as well as with a knife. And that is very true. That's one point I do agree with. But to come out and say that you cannot tie Islam to terrorism is nothing more than a bold-faced lie, and it is a further step of the integration between Islam, Judaism, and Christianity.
And see, that's the ultimate. Please, folks, never.
And we're going to come back to this.
Forget, yes, never forget. The ultimate objective here is to combine. Well, let me back up. It's to eradicate the three monotheistic religions,
mm-hmm.
Christianity,
and
Islam,
so
and Judaism.
With Christianity, through promoting a different Jesus and a different gospel, and using that different Jesus and gospel to unite with Islam and Judaism.
And that's why whenever you see those coexist signs, mm-hmm. bumper stickers, that is a programming tool to get you to believe that all of these religions can coexist. No, when I say religions, all of these spiritual ideologies can coexist. No. Well, can they coexist? Perhaps, but they're not one and the same.
They can coexist. They're not supposed to exist to merge.
They're correct. That's the better way of saying it. So look at this. The objective here, and I'm afraid this is being accomplished. We are seeing this state religion being formed by the merging of Christianity, of Islam, and Judaism. We are seeing it being merged and into a state religion. And those people who dare pray in the name of Jesus, dare read the red lettering of the Bible, they will be the extremists sent to re-education camps or killed. Or you know, whatever else, other punishment there might be. So,
yeah.
And you've got, the Pope's already moving to that end.
Right. Now, as far as the Pope saying that Islam is not, you can't relate that to violence, how about this? In Ali Hammond's, or I'm sorry, Hamanda.
Amanda.
An imam at a mosque where ISIS fighters worship says, yes, boys, you can have sex slaves. Outrage as British Muslim cleric at mosque where Cardiff jihadis were radicalized tells teenagers that captives are permissible under Islam in vile sermon. Like ISIS propaganda, he told young boys that the day of judgment is close, and he went on to preach that they are allowed to have sex slaves as well as other just horrible things. But remember, this is the religion of peace, even according to the Pope.
It gets worse. Yeah.
It gets worse. There's another story that came out later this week from Breitbart.com.
Yep.
World's first lesbian bishop calls for church to remove crosses to install Muslim prayer space. The Bishop of Stockholm has proposed a church in her diocese remove all signs of the cross and put down markings showing the direction to Mecca for the benefit of Muslim worshipers. Now, folks, this isn't a Catholic institution in Stockholm. This is the Bishop of Stockholm.
Think about this now.
Eva Braun, who was made the world's first openly lesbian bishop by the Church of Sweden in 2009.
Interesting name.
And has a young son with her wife and fellow lesbian priest, made the suggestion to make those of other faiths more welcome. In comes interfaith. And my question is, when does Satanism become part of the interfaith?
Oh, it's already, you know, hold on a second.
You gotta be kidding.
Oh, no. I just got this. Hang on. I just got this. Let me see. Okay.
I just said that tongue in cheek.
Oh man. No. Hold on a second. Hold on.
All right. Well, you're looking for that.
Oh, this yeah. You gotta go ahead and continue.
She said calling Muslim guests to the church, calling them angels, when Muslim guests come to the church. The bishop took to her official blog to explain that removing Christian symbols from the church and preparing the building for Muslim prayer doesn't make a priest less a defender of the faith. Rather, to do any less would make one stingy towards people of other faiths. Did you hear that? Calling Muslim guests of the church angels, the bishop took her to her official blog to explain that removing Christian symbols from the church and preparing the building for Muslim prayer does not make a priest a less defender of the faith. Rather, to do any less would make one stingy toward people of other faith.
The bishop insisted
this wasn't an issue. After all, airports and hospitals already had multi-faith prayer rooms and had converted dockyard churches into interfaith buildings or sanctuaries. Now, it goes on from here to explain that the fight within the different dioceses, there some of the other diocese bishops are saying that this is theologically unthinkable when asked what was to be done with the crucifixes screwed to the walls and heavy items such as baptismal fonts taken down. A lot of bishops and priests here are not happy. The upper echelons of the Church of Sweden, much like the other national churches across Europe, seem to be fully invested in the diversity mission. Back in February, a parish church in multicultural paradise, Malmo, declared it would be holding a service in solidarity with local Muslim communities as protests against a march by anti-Islamization movement happened in the city.
I got it here, by the way.
Okay. During the protest, Swedish Church is going to hold a service where we express joy for our city and for our Muslim friends. This is all part of the interfaith movement, and the story goes on, folks. You can go to Breitbart out of London and read it there. The title, again, is World's First Lesbian Bishop Calls for Church to Remove All Crosses to Install Muslim Prayer Space. Now, could it be any more of an oxymoron? World's First Woman Lesbian Bishop. calls for the church to remove all Christian symbols to install Muslim ones.
Folks, we've got to look at this as a war, all-out war against Christianity. It's a religious war. It's a war on the spiritual plane, but it's a cultural war, and it's a war that will be bloody. It's going to be bloody. But Joe, when you mentioned about Satanism
and being part of the interfaith movement.
Yes, yes. Listen to this, folks. I don't know how many people caught this. And I want to thank Maria Canese, the author of Prepare for Persecution and other books. Go to Amazon and look at Prepare for Persecution, Maria Canese, the author. But she sent this. An after-school Satan club could be coming to your child's elementary school. Yes, even in Utah. Now, the author of this is Catherine Stewart. She was writing this for the Salt Lake Tribune, I'm sorry, and it appeared in the Washington Post this past weekend. Well, as it turns out, now listen, Salem, Massachusetts, it's a hot summer night. Leaders of the Satanic Temple have gathered in the crimson-walled living room of a Victorian mansion, the city renowned for witch trials in the 17th century, right? They're watching sepia-toned video in which children dance around a maypole. You know what a maypole is. And a spider crawls across a clown's face in eerie ambient chanting, which gives away to backward demonic voiceover. The group chuckles with approval. Now listen to this. They're here plotting to bring their wisdom to the nation's public elementary school children. They point out that Christian evangelical groups, they've already infiltrated, and that's the word they use, the lives of American children through after-school religious programming. Oh, in public schools. So now they want their 10 minutes, or actually longer than that. And it's critical, they say, that children understand there are multiple perspectives, multiple ideologies, and Satanism is part of it, and it's okay. It's normal, just like homosexuality is normal.
Yeah.
Just like pedophilia is normal. Mm-hmm. Satanism, it's a belief, and it's coming to your school. Your children's school, that is.
It is. It's going to be part of the curriculum and teaching. Well, Christianity has and will continue to be banned and removed. Now, back to Pope Francis.
Yeah, go on.
He spoke at in Poland at a young people, what do they call it here? It was the Youth Day, the World Youth Day. Organizers of the Catholic Jamboree, known as World Youth Day, estimated 1.5 million youths attended a mass in Poland. Now, Pope Francis told young people who flocked to this youth day to believe in a new humanity, one that is stronger than evil.
Wow.
Now, we're definitely going to get into this, because what he goes on to say, which is very eye-opening, is a number of things, and here's where we're going to start. He says, it says this in the article, extremist violence was on his mind when he set out last week. The day after, extremists rushed into a church in the French countryside and murdered the elderly priest by slitting his throat as he was celebrating Mass.
And you know, after that happened, first of all, he's just to be clear on the brutality of this. Number one, the guy that actually wielded the knife, there were two, a minimum of two at least that we know of, but the young man that wielded the knife smiled at the older nuns there, made one of the attendees videotape the slitting of this priest's throat, and then afterwards stood up on the altar and preached Islam in Arabic.
They just stood there? I mean...
Well, they were being held captive.
Didn't the guy just have a knife?
No. The perpetrator did. So, but see, you're not going to hear a lot of this on the mainstream media because it's not cool to be talking about this. And this is how the censorship begins. And the programs like ours, programs like Rick Wiles and Dave Hodges and I mean, you name it, we're being censored. We can't. You have to understand. Google AdSense, Google YouTube, these search engines are censoring our programs. Anytime you mention Christianity, anytime you mention Islam, anytime you mention anything about the Antichrist, we're being censored. But see, you can't talk like this. I'm sorry. Go on.
No. So the Pope at this World Youth Day mentioned, as it says here, extremism was on his mind as he talked about the priest that was beheaded while celebrating a mass. Flying back to Rome Sunday night, he was asked by reporters why he never used the word Islam when denouncing terrorist attacks. Now, we covered this, but I'm going to go over it again.
Yes, please.
Francis said he thinks it's not right to identify Islam with violence. He added every religion has its group of fundamentalists, and referring to ISIS, also known as Islamic State Group, Francis said it presents itself with its violent identity card, but it's not Islam.
It is Islam.
It's the Islamic State.
Yes, and Turkey Erdogan has said as much. Why aren't we believing when a Muslim gets up and says this is Islam? Why not believe them?
Now, the Pope went on to say, he says, God, said Francis, demands of us real courage, the courage to be more powerful than evil by loving everyone, even our enemies.
That's right.
Now, I will agree, we're supposed to love our enemies. But we're not supposed to love or accept evil.
Amen. There you go.
Because what they're trying to roll out, what he's trying to explain with his new humanity, believing in a new humanity, Pastor Langford, Paul McGuire, Pastor Paul Begley, we've all talked about this in recent episodes, that there is no man that is good except Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, died, was crucified, resurrected for all sins of all men.
But by now, our works, we're not worthy of heaven.
There is no new humanity. I mean, there is no good humanity.
Right.
Do not believe in a new good humanity, because God is only thing that is good. Humans are inherently bad, and that is because we have been fallen by the sin nature that has been handed down to us. And that is why we are redeemed by Jesus and by his sacrifice that he gave, so that all can be saved. But the Pope goes on to say, as he was visiting the 72nd anniversary of the Warsaw, he visited Auschwitz, talking about, he was referring back to the Poland invasion, the Polish invasion by Germany in 1939.
German invasion of Poland, that's correct, yes.
But he said, as he was visiting this, he says, you know, you need to believe in this new humanity.
Yep.
And that, you know, we need to, where's the quote here again, about the evil? We need to be loving. Yeah, God demands of us real courage, the courage to be more powerful than evil. That's not accurate. But he goes on to say, by loving everyone, even our enemies. Yes, we're supposed to love our enemies. He goes on to say, people may judge you to be dreamers because you believe in a new humanity. One that rejects hatred between peoples. One that refuses to see borders as barriers and can cherish its own traditions without being self-centered or small-minded, Francis told his flock of more than 1 million people.
Now, Joe, people are going to take us to task. Why are you picking on the Vatican? Why are you picking on the Pope? Why are you picking on Catholics? And I want to make it clear,
we're not picking on Catholics
at all.
And I'm picking on the Pope because he's the knucklehead who said this.
Exactly. And within, it would be like a Protestant.
Just like my pastor.
There you go. Thank you.
You know, I had words with my pastor and I left my church.
Right. Because the church conformed to the world. I mean, should I be mad at gay people because they want to get married, or should I get mad at the church because they allow it?
That's a great, and folks, that's a great point, isn't it?
People are going to sin.
Right.
Should I be mad at the sin, regardless of what it is? Gay marriage was the example I just used. Should I be mad at the gay couple who wants to get married?
Homosexual.
Or should I get mad at the church that permits it?
Yes.
I should get mad at the church who permits it. Just like, I mean.
Because if everyone stood up and said no, right, Joe?
If I, you know, came down here with a pile of drugs and started doing drugs and you didn't slap me around and, you know, call the police, you would be enabling that sin. You would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I guess a different way to look at this, so we can love our enemies, and I know even as it comes out of my mouth, I'm thinking in my head, that's so hard to do, and it's a level you need to get at. It's not something that will come to you overnight. It's not something that I even can believe in with a pure heart half the time. If that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. But we need to clean, we need to look. Look, I believe this. I believe that if we as Christians play our positions, act accordingly, act as Christians, be proactive, not be wimps, and to stand up for what we believe in and to say, no, not more, not anymore. I'm not gonna tolerate. There's a studio dog lady even getting in the, in
right
in
on cue.
That's right. Again.
Is that the, Eric, do you have the graphic for, the lady bark?
Yeah, the lady bark. Actually, my sister, no, you're not gonna come in. My sister-in-law is visiting from, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
With her two children. My wife and my sister-in-law and her two children coming in to the studio. Yes, you wanna be on camera?
The show's wrapping up and we're getting the company.
No.
But, before actually, we close out.
Yeah.
I wanna cover this story because this is related to what we see in this country. As we're told, we are xenophobic if yes. we call Islamic terrorist terrorism.
Oh, horrible.
Cedar Springs Christian Store. That's a store in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, a newspaper has rejected an ad over the word Christian. The owners of a Christian bookstore in Knoxville, Tennessee were dumbfounded after the News Sentinel rejected their ad because it included an offensive word, Christian.
There it is.
Lewis McGinnis and her family own Cedar Springs Christian Store. They recently decided to close a second location of the store, so they decided to place an ad in the classified section of the newspaper, which is owned by Gannett. Now, I mean, couldn't you put anything in a classified section?
Well, you know, I've seen, yes. The answer is yes, but I think we should just flood that newspaper with letters, calls, and
well,
just...
see, what they did, and the way they did it was even worse. Now, they put this ad on July 26th, they placed the ad. It was supposed to run on July 28th, but when they opened up the newspaper, the ad was nowhere to be found. They called the newspaper, spoke with the classified ad employee. She said our ad did not run because it contained an offensive word. She asked me, or she told me. I asked what that offensive word was, and she said the offensive word was Christian. She said the News Sentinel did not notify her in advance that the ad had been rejected, nor did they call her to say that they were refunding her money. We had no way of knowing they considered the word Christian offensive until we tried to place this ad, she told me. As Christians, this is a slap in the face to us, she added. So the bookstore decided to tell their customers what happened in a very clever Facebook posting. It was simply titled, "Do You Think the Word Christian is Offensive?" Let's just say the good church-going folks of East Tennessee lit up the telephones, and it wasn't long afterwards that the Knoxville News Sentinel addressed the issue. They offered up one heaping helping of an apology for any misunderstanding about the New Sentinel's stance on Christianity. We had a system failure, which resulted in a classified ad for Cedar Springs Storage getting hung up in our front-end system, they wrote in a statement posted online.
You know what it was?
We corrected the technology issue in our system, and the ad is now running for an extended period at no extra charge. And for the record, the newspaper does not have a problem with Jesus.
Oh, okay.
So,
y'all buying
that? You see what this is? This is an employee.
Yep.
Who has a problem
with Jesus? There you go. I wonder if that could be Muhammad, whatever.
I mean, if this were the other way around, if this was a Christian employee who had a problem with the Muslim, they would be getting fired, sued.
CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations.
They would be in Guantanamo Bay right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But
it's crazy.
I will say at least the newspaper corrected it and went a step further, making the statement the newspaper does not have a problem with Jesus, because Jesus wasn't mentioned in the initial ad.
Isn't that interesting?
So
interesting.
Maybe there is some good at that newspaper there.
Or maybe it's a CYA and this the wording there is,
yeah, cover your
rear. Folks, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle, Ross Powell, our number two, our three is going to be Stan Dale. But folks, please, tonight, as soon as you're done, since we're done here, send an email to Steve Quayle. Happy birthday. Send him email wishes. Birthday wishes. Happy birthday to Steve Quayle, who is, I think he just turned 48. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Folks, thanks for joining us tonight.